the blessed contemplation, when with trouble here I sigh, I behold beyond the river that I'll enter by and by.
I behold
beyond the river.
I've a mansion
bright and fair. On the river, I will dwell with Jesus there. Oh, how sweet will be to meet them all the ransom host above. Sweeter still to see the Savior, praise Him for His beaming love.
I behold
beyond the river.
I've a mansion
bright and fair. I behold a happy home beyond the river. I will dwell with Jesus there. Oh, the hills are rough and stony, and the valleys dark and cold. I must walk the path before me. It will someday turn to gold.
I'm a home
beyond the river.
I've a mansion
bright and fair.
I'm a home
beyond the river. I will dwell with Jesus there.
For that home beyond the river, that place called heaven. It's a promised place. It's a prepared place that the Lord has for every one of His children. Am I on, fellas? All right. Sounds a little quiet. If you could turn me up a bit. Luke chapter 15 and verse number 1. Would you take your Bibles and turn there? Luke chapter number 15 and verse number 1. When you find that, as you're able, would you stand to your feet as we read the Word of God this morning? Luke chapter 15 and verse number 1. We'll read down to verse number 7. Luke chapter number 15, and we will begin in verse number 1. If you would follow along as we read down to verse 7. The Bible says, "Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and go after that which is lost, until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I ask that you would help and capture our attention, our hearts, Lord, as we open your word. Would you please speak to us today, Lord? We need you. We need you now more than ever, maybe for that person that's lost and on their way to hell. Lord, please convict them of their need of salvation and, Lord, the possible eternity in hell where they would be. Lord, would you save their soul today? Pray for the Christian, Lord, today that you would help, Lord, and revive our hearts and speak to us, Lord. We pray in this name above every name, the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you. May be seated. Luke chapter 15, if I could take a moment, if you have a cell phone, if you'd turn that off or silent or vibrate, that would be a blessing. And then when you're in the service, if you kind of find a place and stay there, that would be a blessing as well. Luke 15, the Bible talks about here how Jesus drew near to him. It says, all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. The publicans were the tax collectors and were to that time of year, that glorious, wonderful time. And no one is excited to see the tax collectors, but they're the ones collecting the taxes for the Romans and many times have been known to be the dishonest people that were taking of people's money but doing it dishonestly as well, not looked well upon in society. And then you have the sinners as well, and that is all-encompassing. But those that were maybe labeled and known with some kind of a title in society, that they were known as the sinners of whatever type, we do not know. And they came to Jesus, the Bible says, for to hear him. Isn't that a blessed place to be? I would hope and assume and pray that if Jesus came physically to this place, that we would leave wherever we were and we would go and hear Jesus. And they came for to hear Jesus and to listen to him. And then in verse number 2, it says, the Pharisees and the scribes murmured. One group came to hear Jesus and the other one came just to murmur and complain. And that sounds a little bit like society today, isn't it? Even some maybe even coming to church. We wouldn't come that way as well, but some came to murmur. And these were the Pharisees and the scribes. This was the religious crowd. The religious crowd, and they came and they murmured. The Bible says they murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Got to get an amen after that part as well. He came, the Bible says, and he receiveth sinners and eateth with them. You realize that when they say, he eateth sinners and eateth with them, they were not identifying themselves with the crowd that needed Jesus. You'd see that at the end of the passage when Jesus said that I've come for the one that needs repentance over 99 just people which need no repentance because they thought they were too good and they did not need Jesus. They had their own way to heaven. They had their own law that they had to follow. And so Jesus spake a parable to them, as we see in the verses that we read here, about a man that he gives them a parable. It's an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. This parable about which of you, if you had 100 sheep, if you lost one, would you not go and find that one that was lost? He continues with the parable. This passage here, he gives three parables back to back to back. The next would be about this woman that if she lost a coin, would she not search until she found it? I'm not usually one to lose money. I try to do a pretty good job of keeping track of the money. But if you've ever been a place where you go and you pull out your jacket and you pull out money, you think, hallelujah, I found what I lost. That's a blessing. And so you see in the next passage about a woman, if she had 10 pieces of silver and she lost one, doth not she light a candle and seek diligently until she found it? And then it continues on in the third parable, very well known, about the prodigal son, the man that had two sons, and the one took his living and went to the far country, but then he came back home and the father came rejoicing with him. This passage here is talking about the lost. And if you will notice here, it's very easily identifiable that we are the lost, that we are the sinners. Jesus Christ was trying to point out to the scribes and the Pharisees that you are the lost, that Jesus came to seek and to save the lost, but they did not see themselves as lost. They saw themselves as righteous in the sight of the Lord. But they were truly the lost ones that Jesus Christ had came for, but they were not ready to be found. But there were some publicans and sinners. These were the crowd that was looked down upon in society, and Jesus came to eat with them because he wanted to save their souls. Aren't you thankful for that? He came for those that were searching and they wanted to hear Jesus. There was one crowd that wanted to hear Jesus and the other crowd that wanted to murmur about Jesus. I'd rather be on the crowd that wanted to hear about Jesus. May we never come to church or judge people, oh, I know why they're here. No, you don't. No, you don't. I'm thankful that when the Lord's house opens and the doors open, anyone is willing to come. Amen? I'm thankful we have a church that runs buses and preaches in the rescue mission and goes house to house and door to door and to the nursing homes. And why? Because Jesus Christ came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came for all. He came for everyone. Unfortunately, too many think they are too good to need salvation. This passage here is about those that are lost, but really it's a passage about a search and rescue. All these stories are search and rescue about something that was lost and needed to be found, and there's nothing more precious about something that's lost and that needs to be found than a soul that's on their way to hell in need of salvation. They're all a picture that one was lost and was found. Unfortunately, thankfully, in this passage that there was some that were lost, they were all found. Too many times in this day and age, there are many that are lost but are never found. We have what's called a search and rescue. It's a life-saving, volunteer-driven act of locating and aiding individuals in distress, lost, in need of help. There are some paid positions with that, but many of them are volunteer positions when they have sent out a search and rescue party and they call out volunteers from a city, from a neighborhood to go and literally walk side by side to go and find someone that was lost. Maybe they were up in the mountains or maybe they were going down the river. Whatever the case was, someone is lost. Sometimes it's one, sometimes it's a couple, and you send out a search and rescue party to go and find them. These people, they risk their lives and their safety to go and save others. They say that the first 12 hours, if someone could be found in the first 12 hours, that is the highest chance that they can of finding somebody alive, someone that is in distress. In the first 24 hours, they have a 98% chance of survival. If you find someone in the first 24 hours, 98% chance of survival. After the 24 hours, it drops to 38%. It drops incredibly, almost a third of what it was before. And if it goes on past the 3 days, it's a 5 to 10% chance of survival. You've seen that before where they send out a search and rescue party to go and find someone that was lost, and maybe there's helicopters, maybe it's dive teams, maybe it's a party that goes and hikes and tries to find someone that is lost. They say if someone is lost, the best chance someone has of being found is to stay put where you are and wait for someone to come and find you. The search and rescue team has a motto. Their motto is this, that others may live. That others may live. People that put their life on the line, and many times they're not even paid to do this, but they go into search for someone that could be alive to go and to help to save that life. I'm thankful that Jesus Christ came on the most important search and rescue mission of all. That Jesus Christ left heaven. He came to earth and He came just for you. He came just for me. He came for each and every person because He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I'm thankful that we have a God that is willing to seek and to save one. I'm thankful when Jesus saves the multitudes and that God saves many, but I'm thankful when God saves that one soul that's on their way to hell, that does not know 100% sure that heaven is their home. And I'm thankful that Jesus Christ came even just for one. In this passage, I want you to look down in verse number 4. He spake a parable unto them, and he says, which man of you? He makes it personal. Make it personal today. Which one of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not he leave the 99 and go in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? Now, I don't know if 100 sheep for you is a dream scenario or a nightmare scenario, but for the sake, we had animals at different times growing up, and my parents thought it might be interesting to have chickens until they would get loose and our dog would eat the chickens. At one point, they thought that it would be interesting to have goats until they climbed on the cars and they escaped, and then we got rid of the goats, and we had different pets at times, but 100 sheep. Never had to take care of 100 sheep, but if you gave the example of a sheep that you had paid for, that you have cared for, that was your own, first of all, you see in this story the lost sheep. The lost sheep. There was 99 that stayed close to home. They stayed in their pen. They stayed where they were. They were good sheep. But then you have the wanderer. You always have a wanderer. Always have a wanderer. Working in the youth ministry for years, you always had a wanderer. There was one you gave a buddy, and you said, don't leave their side. Whatever you do, there are so many names coming to my mind right now. the lost sheep, and there's the wanderers, and they take off, and they're the lost sheep. There was 99 that stayed home, but there was one that was lost. You ever lost someone before? You ever lost someone? We were on a trip down in San Diego, and we were visiting my wife's brother and his family, and we had gone on a trip for the day, and we came home, and my wife and I in the car, and our son Joel was in the car, and our nephew Dominic were in the back seat. They're a couple of years apart in age, pretty close, and where my brother-in-law lived, there was no parking along the street or in the driveway, so we had to pass their street and go up and just around the corner and park there. We had parked there a couple of times, and we got back from a busy day, and we were cleaning some stuff in the car, and my nephew and son got out of the car, and I assumed they went together. That would be a great assumption, that they went together, and you would assume they went the right direction. One of them did, one of them didn't, and we didn't know. And so they left, and we got a few things from the car, went to the house, and assumed all the kids were together playing happily, and until about 15 minutes or so had passed, and it dawns on you, someone is missing, and it was our son. And we didn't know, and all of a sudden said, "Where's Joel? Has anyone seen Joel?" And we looked around and said, no one had seen him, and went, "Oh, no, he never got back to the house." We had no idea, and about 15 minutes had passed, and all of a sudden that terror hits, and your heart, you know, drops, and we ran up and ran to the stairs up to the street, and as soon as I got up there, I got a call from an unknown number, and I thought, I probably should answer it, and I got a call from a man that said, I found your son. He was wandering the streets trying to figure out how to get back home. I don't remember how old he was. How old were you, Joel? He's home sick today, And I asked if I could tell the story. You know, preacher's kids get all the stories told about them. And so we got a call. He said we found him, and he was pretty far down the street, going unfortunately the wrong direction. He was fairly young at the time, though. You guys are laughing at him. You probably did the same thing too, right? And so we brought him back home. Thankfully, we had taught him our phone number. You know, we put it to a song. We teach our kids the same tune to the song today so they remember our phone numbers in any case something like that happens. Thank the Lord he remembered it. And I didn't know the area code, so they figured out the area code, I believe. They forgot to teach them that part. That might have been good if we leave the area and you get lost. Note to self, all right? But he was lost, and we found him, and we brought him home. Like, what were you doing? What were we doing? What was our nephew doing? What happened? He was lost, and what a terrible thought that was. I remember, as a child, I was pretty young at the time as well. It must be a young Becker man thing. I'm not sure. But my family had gone to Disneyland, and this was pre-cell phone days. Yes, kids, there was a time where there were no cell phones ever. And what a great time that was. There was beepers, pagers. And I didn't have one of those either. And I remember being at Disneyland at some point, all of a sudden, my group was gone. And it seemed I was surrounded by thousands upon thousands of people. Now, when you're this height and they're all this height, it seems like a ton. But I had no idea where anyone was, no way to call them, no idea where to find them. We didn't set up that, like, if you get lost, go to the merry-go-round kind of a thing. And I remember for a moment having that time of just your heart sinks and all of a sudden you realize I'm lost. You're lost. I think about that. The Bible says in Isaiah 53, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. The publicans the scribes and the Pharisees, they looked around and they thought, well, they're the sinners, but they didn't see themselves as the lost ones that day. They didn't see themselves as the sinners in need of salvation and lost and on their way to hell. You know, to trust in Christ as your Savior and to know that heaven's your home, it begins with that moment of realizing you're lost. Hopeless. Helpless. No way to get to heaven on your own. No way to work your way there. And you're lost without someone that comes to help you. All we like sheep have gone astray, the Bible says. We have turned everyone to his own way. The Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Maybe you today have realized that you are lost in need of salvation. That's the most important place to get to in your life. If you're not saved, to know I am lost and I cannot get there on my own. I need a search and rescue team, and it's not by any divers or mountain climbers, but I need a search and rescue team by Jesus Christ, because I'm lost and in need of a Savior. Are you lost today? Are you unsure where you'll spend eternity? Maybe you know someone that's lost today. Maybe it's not someone that's physically lost and wandering the streets, although that could be the case. Someone that you're searching for, but maybe you know someone that is lost and they don't know that heaven is their home and God has sent you to go and help and to find them, to bring them back home. We see the lost sheep. Secondly, we see the search for one. In verse number 4, it says, "And if he said, which one of you having 100 sheep, if you lose one, doth neither you leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it?" Again, the lost is a picture of us, and being safe in the fold is a picture of salvation. But we are the wandering ones, and all of us are lost or have been lost. All of us are sinners in need of salvation, but there's the one that was lost. He said, how much of you wouldn't you leave all the others behind to go find the one that was lost? Wouldn't you go and search for them? Again, that example, and it was a true story, but we left everything behind. Now, we had one child and we lost him. That's not great percentages, all right? Not great. But we just dropped everything to go and to search and to find. The search for one, Jesus Christ, he left heaven. He left a perfect place in heaven and he came to a sin-cursed earth. He left all the splendors of heaven behind to come for you. He came for the one. You would think, well, 99% is a pretty good percentage. 99% are saved, and you've only lost the 1%. You think most are saved and most are safe, only one is missing. If you were to speak or read stories about those that are in search and rescues or first responders, the stories that they remember and that stick with them for the rest of their lives are not the ones that they've saved, but the ones that they lost. The ones that they couldn't save are the ones that stick in their mind and stick in their hearts. See, this lost sheep is a picture of Jesus that came for you. The Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. He was on a rescue mission just for you. Why would he do that? Because God loves you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. He is searching for you today. He's searching for you every Sunday morning. The doors open up, and it's a blessing to see God fill his house. And I love to see Sunday school time and people come in, and we have classes all over the place, but even 11 o'clock, I love to see the doors open and think, man, what a blessing to see them in church today and them in church today. It's a blessing to see everyone today to make sure you don't feel left out, but there's certain ones that God brings in. I think, what a blessing. Amen, that God is still searching and he's calling them back home. He's calling them back home, whether it's someone that's lost in need of salvation, or maybe it's that wanderer, that prodigal son that's left home and has come back. I'm thankful that God is still searching and drawing them back to himself, that God is searching. God never stops loving and God never stops searching. There was a mission that Jesus Christ had. It was for you and me. But there's also a mission that is given to every single one of us. You know that you're saved. God has put you on that same team. You've been volunteered to be on the rescue mission team, to go and to search for the lost souls all around us that are dying in need of salvation and need a home in heaven. And God has given you the special task to take your Bible, to be a witness, to pray and to share the love of God, that heaven and hell are on the other side of this last breath of this life is eternity. And it's a mission that God has given to you and to me to tell this lost and dying world about Jesus Christ. Too many times we think, well, I've got my 99 at home. I've got everything I have right here. Why would I leave what I have to go searching for others? Because there's another one that's lost that needs to be brought back home. The Bible compels us in Luke chapter 14, the Lord said to the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be filled. to go to the highways and hedges. In this parable, the master had called people to come to this marriage and they wouldn't come. And he sent them out again. He said, I want you to go into the highways and hedges. I want you to go look for those publicans and sinners. Look for those that are in need, that are in destitute, those that are poor, those that are lost in sin, those that are struggling, and compel them to come in. That's our duty as a servant, to take what God has given to us and to go and to share that with this lost and dying world. Jude chapter 1 says in verse 22, and of some have compassion, making a difference. And others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Volunteers are needed to go on a search and rescue mission to go and find the lost. Church, take a track with you and invite someone to church. Take that gospel track and say, do you know the good news of salvation? Could I invite you? Could I share that with you about God loves you, that He died for you? We're on a mission today. Many times we get so comfortable thinking, well, I'm going to heaven. They can figure it out on their own. We may not say that, but our actions do. If we're not sharing the gospel with the lost, that one that's wandering, maybe for you it's a son or a daughter. Never stop praying. Maybe for you it's a parent that's lost and has not trusted Christ. Never stop praying. I love hearing salvation stories, don't you? I even love hearing those that have maybe lived a long life and they've been prayed for sometimes for 40 and 50 and 60 years. Thank the Lord for someone that was faithful to pray and to witness and to love that person. And sometimes even towards the last days, they trust in Christ as their Savior because someone didn't give up on them. Church, today we can't give up on this lost and dying world. We see that there was a lost sheep, there was the search for the one, but then we see, thank the Lord, that the lost was found. Amen? The Bible says in verse number 4, He says, which of you will you not leave the 99 and go after that which is lost? Look at this. Until he find it. Never stopping until you find it. And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And then he brings him home. When he found him, you've gone searching for something before, maybe as simple as your keys or your wallet or your phone. Hopefully you don't do that every day. That would be difficult, to say the least. And maybe you've gone searching for something that you really need. And all of a sudden you find it, and there's rejoicing. And you're excited. And more important than keys or a wallet, and those things are important to keep with you, of course, but more important than that, but that lost soul that needs Christ, and all of a sudden they've been found. Aren't you thankful when a sinner bows their head and trusts Christ as their Savior? When the Lord allows you to be a part of someone that was lost and now they're found. What a blessing that is. Isn't it a wonderful thing when a sinner comes home? The Bible says when he finds the sheep, he takes it. What does he do? And he puts it on his shoulders and said, I'm carrying you back home. You're going back to where you belong and where you should have been all along. But no matter the case, no matter how far you wandered, how long you've been gone, the Savior is searching, that He is looking, He is calling out for the one that's lost until He brings him home. God won't force you to come home. He won't force you to receive Christ, but man, He's calling, He's searching, He's looking, and man, how much He wants to bring you home until that sinner is found. And then lastly, this morning, in verse number 6, and when he cometh home, look at what he does. He calleth together his friends and his neighbors and said, look, everyone, look. Look what I brought home, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep, which was lost. When he come, he said, look, look, everyone, my one sheep is lost. Everyone else may not be as excited as this man is, but the owner, the one that loves the sheep and cared for him, how happy he is to bring him home. Not only is there rejoicing on earth when a sinner repents and trusts in Christ, and we better rejoice every time a sinner is saved. May we never take it lightly. Oh, another one saved. It was just a child. It was just one sinner that comes home. What a blessing that is. But then in verse number 7, it says this, I say unto thee that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than 99 just persons which need no repentance. Every time a soul is saved, there's rejoicing in heaven. You ever been in public and someone starts randomly singing or rejoicing or shouting? It almost scares you. And I can imagine in heaven, every time a sinner is saved, that there's rejoicing in the presence of the angels. The Bible says, every time a sinner is saved. Are they looking down thinking, maybe today they'll get saved? Just pray one more time. Just witness one more time. They're watching and waiting for that moment that sinner trusts Christ. And there's rejoicing in heaven. Is there dancing, cheering? Is there music being played? We don't know exactly what. But there is rejoicing in heaven when that one is brought home. We are that one that was lost. We are that one that was lost. Never forget. Never forget you were that one that was lost. Maybe you've been saved for 30, 40, 50 years or more. Never forget that you were once lost and on your way to hell. And that is truly what each and every one of us deserve according to our sin, because we have all gone astray. Never forget that you were that lost, that you were that sinner. Never forget the Savior that came to found you, that came and found you. You remember, maybe it was that Sunday school teacher that opened their Bible and they taught you and they shared with you the love of God and how God wanted to save your soul. I'll never forget the preacher that was preaching when I got saved. I'll never forget my Sunday school teacher that taught the day that I got saved. I'll never forget the moment my mother explained to me that story of salvation, and I'll never forget the day that I got saved. Never, never get over getting saved. Never get over it. Hey, we don't deserve to be a part of God's family, do we? We don't, but I'm thankful for that day that I was lost, but now I'm found. Amen. Was blind, but now I see. Never get over the fact that we were once that lost sheep. Maybe that's you today. You've never truly, simply, and clearly asked God to save your soul. But let me tell you this, Christian, there's many more out there. There's many more out there all around you that need you to pray, need you to witness, that need you to care enough to go about seeking. It's seeking those that need the Savior. May we never give up. May we never quit. May we never say it's never going to happen. That's our duty. That's our responsibility, church. That's our responsibility, Christian, to take the gospel that's been given to me and that salvation and to share that with others. And may we rejoice every single time a sinner is saved. One of the biggest lies of the devil is this. What are they going to think if you get saved? What are they going to think if you raise your hand, if you come down the aisle? What are your kids going to think? What are your parents going to think? They're going to think you were saved all along and now you got saved. Don't go to hell with that thought. Don't go to hell, because I'll tell you this. May we never look down on someone that comes forward to trust Christ as their Savior, but may we rejoice every single time.